Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Food Friday, January 24th. I'm Ray Graff. Time once again for another of our regular baking sessions with Chef Gail Sokol. Chef Gail is an educator, author, podcaster, popular YouTuber. Today she intends to teach us all about red velvet cake with Herman frosting. Now, I don't know who Herman is or what indeed he put in his frosting or whether we could even talk about it, but we'll find out. The number is 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. You can also email us if you have a baking question for Chef Gail. She knows quite a bit, as you'll learn in a moment. VoxPop@WAMC.org is the email address, and the number is 800-348-2551. Chef Gail, Red Velvet, your calls after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It's a Food Friday, and today we talk baking once again with our friend, Chef Gail Sokol. Gail is a chef, educator, author, a faculty member she was for years at Schenectady Community College and the Sage Colleges in Troy. She's the author of a widely used textbook entitled About Professional Baking. And a cookbook, Baking with Success. She has a lovely podcast. It's called Baking Radio and is the star of just a tremendous catalog of how-to baking videos on YouTube. They're fun. You'll learn a lot. The number to call here if you have a question about baking is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or email the show at voxpop@wamc.org. Chef Gail Sokol, how are you?
Good. How are you, Raymond?
Good. It's been a while. I think the last time you were here, I was out.
You were out?
Yeah.
I was shocked.
Well, I'm feeling great today.
And, good.
It's been a fun day, and you did good. But before we talk about what you brought, and it's pretty amazing, let's find out what's happening in Gail world.
Oh, cranking out the beautiful videos. Have thousands and thousands of subscribers and 2 million views.
2 million views?
You know,
this isn't one of those OnlyFans things.
No. You have to, these are my people during the holidays. I become super popular. I hear from people all over the world.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
And
Alaska,
how do you translate
Malaysia.
Some of that stuff?
Sometimes I can't.
Really?
So I have to go to a translator.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, very interesting.
2 million views. So what have you made lately on the YouTube? And then we'll get into what you did today.
All right. So I made an incredible raspberry almond frangipane tart.
Ooh, did you bring that?
I did not bring that. But that could be something for the spring, perhaps.
Can you say frangipane again?
Frangipane. It's a French, like an almond custard, but it needs to be baked. And it almost turns into like a macaroni. Rooney type of a filling.
Yeah.
Oh, it's awesome.
So if you bake it too long, it becomes like cement?
I would imagine, but I do not bake
but
it too
long. But you never
bake
it too
of
long.
Of course not.
All right, fine.
Of course not. And I'm thinking of making some cream puff swans over the next couple.
What?
Cream puff swans, you know.
They
like,
look like swans.
They look exactly like swans.
Okay, so a couple questions come to mind.
Okay.
One, why would you want to look at a swan that you're about to eat?
Well, what's coming up? Valentine's Day.
So what's
right?
A swan day?
Yeah, because, well, you can make a beautiful dessert for someone who is about to propose or for someone who has a love or a, you know, a beloved that they would like to have dinner and dessert and make something special.
Okay. So presumably then there's cream in the swan.
There's either whipped cream. You can even put ice cream or you could put custard in the middle.
Oh, interesting.
And they actually look like they have wings because you pipe them out. You pipe out this cream puff dough. Super easy to make. Right on the stove. You could even do it.
I don't think so. You can make a mute swan. Cream puff, and then it would be both a kind of a pest and delicious. How about a Bigfoot cream puff for me?
You probably could do anything in a cream puff.
Could we do
anything?
That?
You could do that.
Actual size, about 8 feet high.
Okay, well, I would need a larger oven.
All right, Gail Sokol. So what else is new? What is this?
This is known as a red velvet cake.
Oh, this has got the Herman frosting on it.
Yeah, you know what? Who the heck is Herman? I don't even know a Herman.
I only know one, and he's somewhat troublesome. 800-348-2551 if you want to talk baking with Gail Sokol. So this, the frosting, it's not Hermann frosting.
No, it's, no, what, you what? Silly. It's ermine, E-R-M-I-N-E.
So what's the deal?
It's vintage. We're going back to like the 1800s when traditionally red velvet cake, which some people say started in the Waldorf Astoria many years ago, like in the 1930s.
Right.
It used to have cream cheese frosting. Everyone makes red velvet. Talk to the man on the street, and it actually, they'll say, yeah, cream cheese frosting.
Let me stop you there.
Yes.
I had a piece. This has cream cheese frosting.
No, sir.
Yes, it does.
No, sir.
I ate the whole piece.
It doesn't.
Yes.
It has no cream cheese.
Oh, cut it out.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, what is it then?
All right.
Spackle?
No. Close.
Okay.
It starts with a roux, like flour and milk. So instead of flour and water, like you'd make a sauce, it's flour and milk. And it's known in other terms as a boiled milk frosting. It's an old-fashioned frosting. But ermine sounds so much nicer. Ermine refers to the soft, furry, white weasel. You know, like a ferret or a stoat.
No, yes. Ferret frosting has a better ring, I gotta say.
Actually not.
Yeah.
So ermine frosting is an old-fashioned vintage frosting, otherwise known as boiled milk frosting. This was the original frosting, Ray,
that
was served on red velvet cake. I do not lie.
All right, so let's talk about, we'll go back to the ermine frosting.
Okay, yes, ferret you said frosting. It, ferret frosting.
Let's talk about red velvet cake.
Yes.
There are misconceptions about red velvet cake.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
And I, believe it or not, I also labored under the misapprehension that there was chocolate in this.
There is some cocoa powder.
Yeah.
Cocoa powder is key to a red velvet cake.
Okay.
So cocoa powder in its natural form is acidic. Remember that. It's acidic, and that's very important. So cocoa powder also has some antioxidants in it or pigments in it that act as antioxidants.
Okay.
So it's sort of healthy for you.
Oh, yes.
But these antioxidants or pigments react with more acid, like a little bit of vinegar. And I don't mean a lot of vinegar, but there's a little bit of vinegar in this cake, about a teaspoon.
Really?
That's it. Okay. About a teaspoon. And then there's buttermilk.
Okay.
Buttermilk is a cultured milk product, and it's acidic. So you get the trifecta of acids in this cake, and you turn this cake into a sort of a reddish, dark brown hue.
So you're not using red dye number three.
No. There is no red dye number three in this cake, I can assure you. But if you want to sort of zhuzh up the color, some people do put in food colorings. And you can get food coloring from other sources.
Like beet juice.
Beet juice, but you can also get a vegetal tasting red velvet cake.
What's a vegetal? What is
that? Tastes like vegetables.
Oh, who wants a vegetable cake?
Nobody wants to eat a vegetable cake. So, but you can make a beet. You can put beets in the cake and it can be delicious.
Okay.
I don't want to put it down.
10-4.
But if you don't want to use beets, and some people are against it, you can use other dyes that are based on vegetables.
But you did none of that, and yours is a beautiful red.
I have to disclose there is some food coloring in here, but it's not red dye number three.
What number is it?
40.
40?
40.
They go that high?
Yeah, they go that high.
What's and like a number 37 look
I have
like?
No clue if there is a 37, but
right.
Number 40, you know, none of these dyes are perfect. I don't use very much. Some recipes can call for up to a tablespoon of red food coloring to the point where your intestines would probably be bright red at the end, okay?
Way to conjure up a picture, Gail.
Well, let me tell you a funny story, real quick, okay? My daughter, when she was little, wanted a cupcake. We got her an Elmo cupcake. You know Elmo.
Yeah, sure.
Right? It's bright pink.
Extremely
well,
annoying.
They used a lot of pink in the frosting on this Elmo cupcake.
Yeah.
This kid was pooping pink.
Okay.
I thought something was wrong.
Well.
And then I realized she had an Elmo cupcake. That's the answer.
Suddenly it's Medical Monday.
Exactly.
That's great.
So you want to watch how much food coloring you put in anything but the red dye number, it's not in here.
Interesting. Okay, well, I wasn't really casting aspersions upon your use of...
Oh, of course you weren't.
No, I was not.
No, no, no.
So anyway, the red velvet, and by the way, the structure of this cake is perfection itself. It's not too moist.
No.
And it's got some density to it.
It's
perfect.
Velvety. That's why red velvet cake, it uses the creaming method of mixing.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So you have your butter and your sugar, and you beat that until the butter turns light white. Then you add eggs one at a time. And then you make a concoction of buttermilk, and you pour that in alternately, a little bit of buttermilk and a little bit of the vinegar. Remember, we need that trifecta of acids. And you alternate dry and wet ingredients, and you get this luscious,
it really is,
luscious batter that has a nice, tight, fine crumb. And it's very, very tender. And again, you can use a cream cheese icing. I am not a fan of a cream cheese icing. So I tried the ermine. The ermine is easy. Super easy. And if you added egg yolks to this ermine, as you call it, ferret frosting, it is actually becoming a German buttercream if you made a custard instead. So what you do is you basically make this roux, this flour and milk, and then you cool it down. It gets thick. You cool it down and you add it to a butter sugar. You beat butter and sugar, a lot of butter, three sticks or so, three quarters of a pound. And then you add this roux slowly, this cold roux slowly into it, and it becomes this light, fluffy, white ermine-like frosting.
Now, on the top, where it's fairly thick, it seemed, I don't want to, you're going to get mad at me, but I thought it was cream cheese.
No, cream cheese.
It's got a thickness to it.
Yeah, because it's because of this. It's a boiled milk icing. So you're getting this emulsion with the butter and the milk and the way it sort of thickens, the flour thickens the milk. It's absolutely delicious.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't think that this light, fluffy thing, similar to if you have a ferret and it's got white fur, it probably feels just like this frosting tastes. Yummy.
This is already off the rails, but the cake is delicious.
Thank you.
And you mentioned buttermilk in the red velvet cake itself.
Yes.
So answer my question. We have to take a break here. And the number is 800-348-2551. You said buttermilk is cultured?
Cultured.
So
buttermilk is actually milk that has been treated with a special bacteria, and it's acidic, and it's almost fermented in a way.
Yeah.
All right. And what it does is it adds an acidity to things. So when you make buttermilk pancakes, it reacts with baking soda.
So it's all chemistry.
It's all chemistry. So the trifecta of acids needs to react with this baking soda. Baking soda needs an acid because it's basic. It's an alkali. It needs an acid to react to form carbon dioxide gas bubbles, which help the cake rise and actually help this cake.
The texture
really
is phenomenal. You know, it's great.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Buttermilk, have you ever drank it?
I have not. Have
well,
you?
Yes, like an idiot. One time my mother had it. I was a kid, and it was in the fridge, and she was using it to bake, but we were out of milk, so I poured a glass.
Okay.
God, it was awful.
Whoa.
It was so bad.
Yeah, well, some people do drink it.
Really?
Oh, yes. I'm sure they'll call in.
That ain't right. If you've drank buttermilk and you like it, I'd like to hear from you now. 800-348-2551. It's Baking with Gail Sokol. 800-348-2551. Email is voxpop@wamc.org. We'll be back. Frank Zappa. It must be a camel here on Vox Pop. 800-348-2551. It's Food Friday, and Chef Gail Sokol is here baking things. We have red velvet cake with ermine frosting. Here's an email that came in at voxpop@wamc.org. This is from John. He said, this is not about this show. This is about the last show, which I missed. And boy, I was annoyed because that recipe, the bouche de Noël.
Bouche.
So John writes, I made Gail's recipe for bouche de Noël for Christmas. I followed her video on YouTube. It was easy to follow and came out great. Thanks, Gail, says John.
Oh.
There's a picture.
Oh, that's gorgeous, John. That's gorgeous.
Now, what's in it again?
Beautiful. It's a sponge cake. And you roll it and you put in chocolate whipped cream, sort of just basically a little cocoa powder in the whipped cream. You can also use other things like custard.
Yeah.
And then you put ganache on the top.
Yeah.
And you cut one section of it off to use as a branch. So it's supposed to look like a tree, like a log.
That one kind of looks like a boot.
It looks like a log. Oh, come on. Don't insult John. Well, John, that was awesome.
It looks delicious. I mean,
it was absolutely. And then I made meringue mushrooms.
Yeah.
And I put them on top. And I took rosemary sprigs. I candied the rosemary, put it in a sugar syrup, and let it dry and dredged it in sugar. And then I dusted the whole thing with confectioner's sugar to look like it was snowing.
You know, I got to say, when I take a day off when I can get one or if I'm ill, whatever, but I don't get ill that often. The talk in the station about what you brought the last time was just incredible. It was off the charts.
It's a good cake.
You know,
it's
but I
cake.
Think the talk is going to be pretty good about the red velvet. All right, so let's go to the phones. 800-348-2551 is the number. VoxPop@WAMC.org is the email address. It's Chef Gail Sokol today. And let's go to Nicole in Nassau. Nicole, you're on.
Hi, Ray. You might be sorry you started this, but I am a buttermilk drinker.
No way.
We got a buttermilk drinker. Hey. So,
and the best way, I learned from years ago working for the Hare Krishnas that they were the ones in the orange robes at the airport.
Yeah, big buttermilk drinkers.
They used to mix it with orange juice. And on a hot summer's day, buttermilk and orange juice is better than a beer.
I got to say, that sounds pretty bilious. I'm not joking. No offense.
Wow.
I mean, what is it?
No, not at all.
Does it taste like a creamsicle? What does it taste like? It sounds
yes,
terrible.
It is creamy. It's just refreshing.
Really? Mm. Buttermilk. Mm. I mean, when I had it, it was the shock.
Try it sometime.
I had it 45 years ago, and I still haven't gotten over it. I mean, that's how. But good for you, Nicole. Let me ask you.
No, orange juice sweetens it up.
Okay.
All right.
That's
must make
the trick.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot for the call. Appreciate it. 800-348-2551. Who knew?
I know. I shouldn't have said anything.
So that's an acid.
Yeah.
Now, you said baking soda is a base.
Is a basic so that it forms a neutralization reaction when it gets mixed with an acid.
Now, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
If I had a glass of buttermilk and I put a couple spoonfuls of baking soda in, would it fizz up?
Probably.
Oh, that would be an interesting experiment.
Yeah. Yeah,
and then we'll make Zach drink it.
What did you say? You would drink it?
No, Zach. It's okay.
Oh. I think it would be a little foamy.
That would be cool.
Yeah. She said it was better than a beer on a summer day.
Yeah, okay.
But you know. I don't know. I question that.
All right. Well, listen, other people are weighing in on this. Uh-oh. Anna writes in, I don't drink buttermilk, but my husband does. If I buy it for baking, I have to hide it until I've used it.
Oh, that's so funny.
At our house, we refer to your experience as the buttermilk effect. You take a big gulp or bite of something, expecting it to taste a certain way, and then it's completely the opposite.
Yes.
Usually not a pleasant experience.
No.
Anna, I'm so with you on this, and obviously your husband has issues. I mean, let's face it. I mean, but what if you put an Alka-Seltzer in one? Wouldn't that be something?
That would be something.
Then you'd cut to the chase. You've had the buttermilk and the Alka-Seltzer.
Very funny. Very funny.
You know what, Gail? You're troublesome, as always. This is from Elizabeth. How do I bake with self-rising flour?
Okay. Self-rising flour already has leaveners in it, chemical leaveners in it. Usually it has salt and baking powder and baking soda in it. So ignore the chemical leaveners in the recipe and use your self-leavening flour. I don't like self-leavening flour.
Why?
Because I like to control what I put in my batters. And I usually just like to add my baking soda, baking powder. Because how do you know this self-rising flour is still active? You don't know.
Well, you buy it, you got to hope you bring it back if it doesn't work, right?
But you don't necessarily know until after you purchase it, and it's already in your batter or your dough. So the way to tell if baking soda is active because it needs an acid, take some baking soda, put it into a cup, like a teaspoon.
Yeah.
Add a little vinegar to it. That'll get it nice and foamy. It'll foam right over the top.
Well, what about buttermilk?
Forget the buttermilk. All Drop right. the buttermilk. Move on.
Really?
All right. Yes.
I don't think we're going to be moving on. Right, but anyway, go ahead.
But baking powder already has an acid in it. It contains baking soda and baking powder and an acid already in
right.
it. So it's actually sort of self. It'll rise. All you need is moistness and heat.
Doesn't that to make get perfect double sense?
Yes. Well, wait a second. So how do you tell if your baking powder is still active? Some people have it in their cabinets for a year or two or
yeah.
maybe more.
Yep.
So you add a little boiling water to your baking powder, a teaspoon of baking powder in a glass, add a little boiling water, and that should bubble up. And that's how you know they're both active.
Now, you wrote a textbook on baking.
I did.
There a chapter on bubbling things up?
Yeah, leaveners, chemical leaveners.
Really?
Yes.
So you're against the self-rising flour?
I'm not against it. I think that I would rather control how active things are and how old they are. Mm. Flour can last a while if it's in a dry, dark spot with no moisture. But leaveners, you know, you just got to be careful. You got to test them and see if they're okay after a year or so.
When you get indigestion, do you ever use the sodium bicarbonate baking soda with a little water?
No.
You never tried
no.
that?
No. It'll work.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah, it'll work because you have the acid. You're providing the acid for this base, this alkali.
Yeah.
And it will form a neutralization reaction, and then I bet you'll belch and burp your head off.
It's very satisfying.
Very satisfying.
This email came in from somebody, and there's no name. Ermine frosting is the subject heading. I grew up on this frosting.
Oh.
All of our family birthday cakes made by my grandmother, then my mom, eventually me, were made with this frosting. Great texture, flavor, and way less sweet than American buttercream.
Yes.
Easier to make than Swiss and Italian buttercreams.
Yes.
So happy to hear it being discussed today. Oh, and after a family member was diagnosed with celiac, I figured out how to make it gluten-free.
Mm-hmm.
How would you make it gluten-free?
You can use gluten-free flour. You could even probably use some cornstarch, which is gluten-free. But there's a lot of alternatives. I just wouldn't use, you know, like a weird flour, like chickpea flour or something, because then that would not taste good.
Okay, fair enough. Gail Sokol's our guest today. It's baking, 800-348-2551. John writes in, I usually have a quart of buttermilk in my refrigerator. I drink it all the time and use it in cornbread and pancakes. I love it.
Yeah.
Stewart's is my favorite, says John, who presumably works for Stewart's. I don't know. I should really pre-read these things. So a lot of people like buttermilk. Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to go home and down a quart and then get back to me.
I still have buttermilk at home from this cake because you have to buy it in a quart. You can buy it dried and then reconstitute it.
Yeah. How do you, just with water?
Just with water. And I don't like it as much. I think the fresh buttermilk is better. And it does last a while. So, you know, you shake it. You have to shake before you use it. Make sure you shake it up because it settles and you want it to shake up. And you know, I'm going to make pancakes for dinner one night this week. Oh, yeah.
I'll be done. While we're on the subject of reconstituted milk, here's another traumatic milk thing that I had.
I know what you're going to say.
Well, it's the powdered milk.
Yes.
I believe this was what, a wartime thing?
Yes.
Or way back when?
Yep.
Anyway, we had it. We had no milk. I guzzled milk as a youth and I tried this, and it just was not too good, Gail.
It is not.
I've got to be honest.
I know. It's not. And it's something that is used very often in the dry form in breads, yeast breads, just to give it a little bit more, you know, nutritional up, you know, it ups the nutrition, and it also helps the texture. But no, I would not personally drink it. I think for people that couldn't afford it or can't afford fresh milk or whatever, or in a pinch, you know, you're stuck in the woods, you want milk.
Yeah.
Why not? I guess if you were desperate, you would drink buttermilk.
Well, I was, clearly, and it was not the best. Didn't go very well with the peanut butter jelly sandwich.
No.
All right, let's go to the phones. 800-348-2551 is the number. It's Chef Gail Sokol today on Food Friday. Brian is in Poughkeepsie. Hello, Brian.
Hi. I have a recipe for Irish soda bread that's been in the family for quite some time, and it calls for a cup and a half of buttermilk. However, I'm told that if you're in a pinch and you don't have the buttermilk, that you can just add a tablespoon and a half of vinegar to that milk and then use that in lieu of the buttermilk. What do you say?
Yes, I say you can do that. I even have a better solution because sometimes if you add a little too much vinegar, You'll taste it afterwards. If it doesn't fully neutralize, is it not fully neutralized by the baking soda? But Irish soda bread is a great way to use up buttermilk. Fabulous way to use up buttermilk. Because it's like a giant biscuit. That's what really, you know, Irish soda bread is. I sometimes, if I don't have any buttermilk, I will take plain yogurt, plain Greek yogurt. I will put it in to a liquid measuring cup and then add milk. Any milk you want. Could be, you know, almond milk, could be skim milk, whole milk, whatever you want. And whisk it until you get the consistency of buttermilk and the amount, the volume that you want, and add it instead. And it's perfectly acidic enough to react with baking soda to get whatever you want.
Brian.
So a cup of that yogurt along with some milk to make the 12 ounces of buttermilk that would normally go in. Is that right?
Take a look. So most yogurts are about 5.3 ounces or so, depending on, you know, how you buy it. I usually use like one container of yogurt and just fill up the rest with some milk.
Huh.
Because you need a cup and a half, you may want to use two containers of yogurt and then just fill it up with milk, and I think you'll be fine.
All right, Brian, thanks a lot. Appreciate the call. The number here is 800-348-2551. Or email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Chef Gail Sokol is with us today. Now, when we were talking, back before we started talking about buttermilk for the whole show, we were talking about your red velvet cake.
Yes.
And you mentioned three acids.
Yes.
Why three? And is that the case in every baked cake?
No. This is the case in red velvet cake.
You have to have three acids.
Three.
What if there's only two? What happens?
Nothing's going to happen. It's just you're going to get this deep red, this chemical reaction with this antioxidant or, you know, this pigment that's naturally in cocoa powder.
Yeah.
So Dutch processed cocoa wouldn't work because it's been Dutched. It's been neutralized. The acidity has been neutralized.
Right.
So it's darker in color and you're not going to get that color change.
Yeah.
But it's just tradition that red velvet naturally uses some cocoa powder, very, very little cocoa powder. It's only a couple tablespoons in this cake.
Yeah.
Sometimes it can use up to like a half a cup to, you know, depending, but not enough to give that super chocolatey flavor. So it's really not a chocolate cake like I would consider a chocolate cake.
Have you ever tried the box cakes on the red velvet?
No.
Well, very good.
No.
Oh, excellent.
Yes.
Not quite as good as yours,
okay.
But good. Very good.
Does Mrs. Graff make those?
Mrs. Graff, or do you?
Listen, asking.
I have four daughters. You know,
they probably bake.
There's plenty of people to
bake. Yeah.
Okay. One thing I didn't mention before we get back to the buttermilk calls. One thing I didn't mention was these chocolate doilies.
They're hearts.
That's right.
Yes.
They're beautiful.
This is perfect for Valentine's Day, this cake.
Yeah.
So I also have a video on, if you look up, you know, creating chocolate hearts, and it's gotten thousands of views.
This is candy.
This is candy. This is chocolate. And what I like to do is make it with a confectionery coating because it doesn't need refrigeration. You don't have to worry about tempering chocolate. And what you do is you melt the chocolate over a double boiler. I have red chocolate, confectionery coating, and I also have chocolate. So what you do is it has a little bit of cocoa butter in it, but it also has some shortening in it so that it will not turn colors or get like that gray flakiness that if it's not tempered.
Mm-hmm.
So I take a pastry bag or a parchment, a parchment cone that I make out of a right triangle of parchment paper. And then you pipe it out and you can make stencils. You can make stencils in the shape of hearts. You can make anything. I have made coconut trees. I've made any shape you want, leaves. And you can make a heart. So I've made hearts. You actually print them out on the computer if you want to. Put it under a piece of wax paper on a sheet pan.
Yeah.
And then pipe your chocolate on the wax paper. And then afterwards, you just peel it off you chill it in the refrigerator and you have them. You can just store them in an airtight container for months and decorate anybody you want.
They're very
or anything you want.
Okay, well, whatever you want to do.
Slip of the tongue.
That's fine. But great idea.
Yeah.
Just sometimes I have these flashes and they're just brilliant ideas.
Okay.
Ready?
Yeah.
You know how?
Uh-oh.
You know how there's these 3D printers, right?
Uh-huh.
You put the plastic in, you print.
Yeah.
A baking 3D printer. You put the chocolate in, you put whatever in.
It's coming.
Is
I
it?
Bet, I don't know. I can only imagine with AI and all that. I'm sure it's going to come.
If it's coming, Gail, it's coming. My idea.
It's your idea. All right.
All right. The number here is 800-348-2551. Chef Gail Sokol is with us. It's baking today. Email is voxpop@wamc.org. Let's grab one more call before the next break. We'll go to Chatham. Judy, you're on.
Okay. Gail, I have your cookbook for desserts,
wonderful.
And I want to make your hominutaschen.
Okay.
The what?
The hominutaschen.
The hominutaschen cookie.
Okay.
Yes.
I need to make it non-dairy.
Okay.
What do I substitute your butter with?
Okay. I would look for something that you need a solid fat, because I don't know if something like coconut oil is going to work. It's got to be solid. You want to substitute the correct fat in a recipe. If you're going to substitute something else for it, it's got to be solid with solid or liquid with liquid. So if there was a melted fat in there, you could use coconut oil melted or oil. But right now you need something solid, and there should be some non-dairy fats on the market, like shortening, like a, you know, Crisco type thing, like a vegetable shortening type thing that's made from palm oil, that's fully hydrogenated, that's solid. That would work very nicely, Judy, and it would be non-dairy.
Okay. And I also just want to say I love to drink buttermilk.
Oh, another one. Yay, Judy.
And,
yeah.
And there's a recipe in an old cookbook. I think it might be a Betty Crocker cookbook. Of buttermilk and tomato juice.
Disgusting.
Oh, okay, all right.
Did you ever have that, Judy?
Oh.
Yes.
Is it
good? Yes, actually, I grew up on it. My parents loved that.
It's almost like a cream of tomato soup.
Judy, can you do me a favor and find that book and see if there's a recipe for buttermilk and bourbon in there?
I bet there is.
Delicious.
Oh, you can put bourbon with anything.
Right you are, my friend. All right, we got to take a break. Thanks for the call.
Thanks, Judy.
800-348-2551.
Oh, my gosh. We opened up a can of worms.
Give me a buttermilk martini, three olives. 800-348-2551. We'll be back. Kind of a Zappa mood here. Zuda Lore is on WAMC. 800-348-2551 is our number. It's Food Friday, and it's Gail Sokol. And, okay, let's go to the email bag, voxpop@wamc.org. Believe it or
Don't
not.
Don't say it's about buttermilk.
Why, yes, it is. Subject heading buttermilk.
Oh, no.
Three questions. One, this is from Connie in Florence, who says go with the flow, because that's Florence. Get it? You see?
Oh, ha.
One. Are use-by dates on buttermilk fictional?
Are they fictional?
I mean, does it matter?
I mean, okay. All right, I have to be honest with you. Bonnie, right?
Connie.
Connie. Oh, I'm so sorry.
That's all right.
Connie, Bonnie, B for buttermilk. Well, okay. Oh. Connie. So.
Hang on. Well, somebody, we have a call on the line. It's not time yet. All right, you hang on. You start talking, and I'll figure it out.
So, Connie, if you want to keep buttermilk past the use-by date, go ahead. I have kept it sometimes 1 to 2 weeks past the use-by date. Use-by doesn't mean expired, throw it out, it will turn into poison.
Right.
No. Neither will Best Buy. It'll just lose a little quality. But if you shake up that buttermilk and it's still a liquid, it's fine to use in any type of baking. The longer it gets, the older it gets, I may not want to drink it at that point.
Okay. Well, you don't want to drink it anyway.
I personally?
Yeah.
No, you don't want that.
No.
Right. But if you want to bake with it, feel free to
do
it. If it turns solid, if it gets sort of like solidified, throw it out.
Okay. Fair enough. What happens? I'm sure you've left sour cream.
Yeah.
Too long
in
the fridge.
Yeah.
Does it turn sweet?
Where'd you hear that?
Well, it's sour to start with.
Yeah.
And milk that's in too long turns sour.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it follow logically that sour cream would then turn sweet?
Why would it turn sweet?
Well, it can't turn sour.
No, well, there is natural sugars in milk products, lactose.
Yeah.
All right, and that is a sugar. I have never tried that experiment. You could try that experiment.
You could try that. Yeah, you could try that. This is your homework. Mm-hmm. Number two from Connie. How is sour milk different than buttermilk?
If you're looking at the, you know, the reason why you would use it to get some sort of a acid in to react with, let's say, a baking soda in a recipe, it's no different.
Okay.
It's no different. So you could use the old-fashioned vinegar and a little milk and use it for buttermilk if you don't have it. I like this. I like the yogurt thing or even the sour cream thing with the milk.
Who knew that we'd have so many buttermilk questions?
Oh, not another
Third
one.
Question from Connie. Can I substitute buttermilk for water plus buttermilk solids in a semolina roll recipe? Dough is rising now, says Connie.
Yeah, if it calls for buttermilk, you could definitely use a, she's saying a dried buttermilk reconstituted.
Yeah, can I substitute buttermilk for water plus buttermilk solids?
Yes.
Okay, fair enough. And then this is from Steve. What about sweetened condensed milk from a can? Remember Elsie and Borden? Spent a few years as a kid in countries where we didn't have access to safe milk. Canned sweetened condensed milk was all we had. A bit too sweet for the old man now, but as a kid, I loved it. Suck it straight out of the can. Oh. And that's from Steve in Albany.
Okay, so sweetened condensed milk is way different, like 180 degrees different than buttermilk or something. It is got 60% of the liquid evaporated off from it, so that's how it's got that ooey-gooey, you know, very thick
Delightful.
Consistency
yes.
and extremely sugared, heavily sugared.
Yes.
So it's usually used in candy making, fudge, certain frostings. Drinking it, I mean, they use it in Vietnamese coffee. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Yes. And it's awesome. And you can make a quickie ice cream with it. And I have done so. So if you don't want to actually make a real, you know, creme anglaise or a custard base, you can sort of substitute sweetened condensed milk, fold in some whipped cream, freeze it as a still frozen dessert, and you have an ice cream.
Okay. Let's go to the next email. What do you think it's going to be about?
The big B.
Yep, the big B. Can you this is from Linda. Can you substitute for buttermilk with milk kefir? It made great biscuits.
Okay, so
what's milk kefir?
Kefir is a specific type of milk. It's very high in, it's good for your microbiome.
Okay,
because it's acidic. And it's got probiotics and things like that in it. You probably could because it's acidic. Yeah, you probably could. Yeah.
Deborah wants to know, can you make ermine frosting gluten-free? I think you said you could.
Yes,
right?
You could. You just have to look for a gluten-free flour or use cornstarch.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. One more email and then we'll go back to the phones. Gail Sokol's our guest today. Emily writes, I think I have written in with this comment before, but when I need to make non-dairy desserts, I always use refined coconut oil. The kind that is solid at room temp and liquid if you melt it, just like butter, works great for me.
Okay.
Any comments
on that? If, as long as it's solid at room temperature, that's fine. You just have to be careful if you want to serve it on a hot, sunny day. It could sort of melt or separate. Got to be careful.
All right. So this is not really a question, but John wrote in, this is a cookbook written by two local bakers. It's called the Buttermilk Cookbook.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm not saying buttermilk's bad. I just don't want to drink it by itself.
You know what, Gail? You have been slagging it the entire show.
You
know what?
That's me.
All right, let's go back to the phones and see what else can happen. Tom in Amsterdam, you're on.
Hey, Ray, I heard you mention that the staff raved about a cake in the last time Gail was there, and I'm going to guess it was the Basque cheesecake.
No, that was two shows ago, but go ahead and talk about that. That was awesome, too.
Well, I wanted to let Chef know that I made the Basque cheesecake, and it is phenomenal.
Isn't it?
I did it a little different. I made it with the Meyer lemons that I had, and instead of the pink peppercorns, and I encourage other listeners to try it. Maybe the pink peppercorns threw them off a little bit, or I don't know. But I just incorporated the juice and the rind into the sugar.
Delicious.
Yes.
It came out outstanding.
Yes. Excellent. That sounds amazing, Tom. Yeah, the pink peppercorns was just a little riff, a little different, but you can obviously leave them out. And when I did make them for Ray, I did leave those out. That was just a little extra zippity-doo-dah that I had put in. Meyer lemons, awesome.
Oh,
awesome.
Yeah. Hey, Tom, I just want to thank you for saying Basque the correct way. Last time we were on, Gail said Basque.
It's Basque
and made
cheesecake.
Me feel quite inadequate. Basque.
It's a Basque pear, right?
Yeah. Hey, man, thanks for the call. Have a great weekend. 800-348-2551. Well, let's see what we have on the phones. Let's go to line three. Christine, you're on with Gail Sokol.
Hello. I wanted to talk about the dry milk, powdered milk situation.
Yes.
I and my husband, we're not big milk drinkers. And like the other day, I was having company over, had some in the cupboard. I didn't have any milk, so I made a little to make the mac and cheese, and it worked out perfectly. And when I used to teach in the schools, it was so affordable to just buy the powdered milk, yeah, use it for, yes, pancakes or whatever.
Yes.
So it comes in handy for us because we're not built. We end up throwing milk out half the time. So, well, it's really convenient.
You know what, Christine? You brought up a good point. I am not a fan of dry milk to reconstitute it and drink it, but in baking, in cooking with your mac and cheese to make a cheese sauce, that is amazing. It
really
works. Oh yeah, okay. It would be perfect. Perfect. Thank you for that comment.
Yeah, it's very affordable. It's,
yes,
easy, and you know, it saved the day the other night because I didn't have any milk.
Absolutely. Wow. No, that's perfect. Perfect.
Thanks, Christine. You ever make mac and cheese with buttermilk?
No.
All right, let's go to line four. Sheila, you're on with Chef Gail Sokol.
Hi, Gail. And,
hi.
Ray. This is for Ray. You're going to love this.
Okay,
and when
I'm ready.
You mentioned bourbon and buttermilk,
yeah.
I was an au pair on Beacon Hill in Boston years ago when I was a young girl. And the mother of the house, before she went to her cocktail parties, she would drink a cup of buttermilk before she consumed alcohol.
Oh, interesting.
And she's very interesting. She's the only person I know in my whole life that did something like that. But when you mentioned bourbon, it made me think of it.
So
but
why did she do it, Sheila?
To prevent herself from feeling the effects of the alcohol and prevent her from getting drunk? Is that what you think?
Correct. That was her theory, that she would be able to keep her senses, uh-huh, and she would be able to have a good time and drink and keep up with the men.
Hey, Sheila, did it work? You saw her when she got back from the party.
Yeah, was she plastered?
Was she plastered?
Oh, yeah. Oh. She did it. She did it religiously. And, I think it did work.
Oh, wow.
She was quite happy with
okay.
it.
Okay.
Well, you learn something new every day. Sheila, thanks for the call. Have a great weekend. The things you learn about buttermilk when you're not even asking.
You're not even asking.
This one is from Andrew, who writes in, no nuts, no eggs. What kind of sweets can I bake to accommodate no nuts, no eggs allergies for 25 kids ages 3 to 5?
Oy vey.
Yeah,
right? Okay. Well, the shortcakes
right.
have, you know, no eggs very often. They do have buttermilk on occasion. No pun intended.
No,
they
fine.
Do. And no nuts. And any recipe that calls for nuts other than pecan pie, just leave the nuts out and you're fine.
Yeah.
You're absolutely fine. There's a lot of things you can make without nuts.
But no eggs, though.
Yeah, you can make an apple pie without eggs. You can make muffins with if you want an egg, no eggs at all. So, all right. So you'd have to, I would say biscuits, things like that, mostly without eggs, would probably be it. The ermine frosting would work very well because it has no eggs. There's no custard in it.
Yeah.
And you could frost something like that or a cinnamon roll. I have a quick cinnamon bun that is on my website. That's
really?
Amazing.
Do you have a YouTube
with a video.
On that one?
I sure do.
So, by the way, if you are listening,
leave the nuts out though. It's pecans. So you can leave the nuts.
Fair
out.
Enough. If you're listening to this now and you want to find out more about Gail Sokol, you just go to our page, Vox Pop. It's WAMC.org. You'll find today's show. There are links to Gail's webpage, the recipe for this red velvet cake. There's the how-to video on the red velvet cake and the ermine frosting. So just go to WAMC.org, and while you're there, feel free. You know, the lockbox is open. You can make a pledge. It's a good thing. Support Gail Sokol here at WAMC. Otherwise, she can't come back. 800-348-2551. Sheila's call has really got me thinking. What is the science? Is there any science behind drinking a glass of buttermilk before you go out to have a couple?
I think she thinks she's going to coat her stomach so that the alcohol, but I, a little tidbit that I learned from culinary school when I took my courses, you know, on drinking and my tips course, you know, about.
They have courses they on have, drinking?
Of course, you know, how to make drinks and alcohol and everything as a chef. Women and men absorb alcohol in their mouth. You absorb it.
Really?
Once you start just drinking it, yes, and hold it in your mouth. I don't mean you're holding it, you're swallowing it.
Right.
It is absorbed through the lining of the mouth. So I don't know. This woman must have been plastered with buttermilk in her stomach. So I don't see how it could have. It might have staved it off a little, but she's still getting some through her mouth.
Well, she could have gargled with buttermilk before every
drink.
Oh,
I bet she did.
You know
I don't know.
Let's go to the phone and see what... Judy in Scaticoke, you're on with Chef Gail Sokol.
Hi. I was just thinking back to when my children were little. They're all in their 50s now. And we would go to the drive-in, take our own popcorn, and I made this Julius-style orange drink.
No way.
And you're talking about the orange and the buttermilk reminded me of that.
Huh.
It has 6 ounces of frozen orange juice, 2 cans of water, 1/2 cup of sugar, 1/3 cup powdered milk, there you go,
okay,
and 10 ice cubes.
You
put that in a blender, blend it up. The kids loved it, and we didn't take soda with us.
Oh, I think that's really
awesome.
Cool.
Awesome,
Judy, thank
awesome.
You very much. Let's quickly go to Karen in East Rensselaer County. Karen, you're on.
Hi there. I was just thinking of the question of no eggs and... no nuts, shortbread cookies are quick and easy.
Yes.
Just flour, butter, and
yes,
sugar. That's
yes,
quick
yes, yes, yep.
There's the old Depression-era recipes that have no eggs, no milk. They're both, it's called a wacky cake, and it's both a chocolate one and a white one available.
Nice.
But back to the powdered milk. I use powdered milk all the time. I make my homemade cocoa with it, with just milk, the powdered milk, a little bit of sugar, a little bit of powdered cocoa.
Great idea. That's an excellent idea. Excellent.
And now for buttermilk, there is powdered buttermilk available in the stores.
Yes.
Refrigerated once you've opened it. That stuff works great.
Yes. I've mentioned that. I just mentioned that before with another caller, and you mix it with water, and it's perfect to put in any recipe.
That is, it sounds delicious.
You just alter your, you just add a little 1/2 teaspoon of baking soda and, like, powdered biscuits. Come out great.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
And on to the other issue, I fed my daughter beets as she was potty training, and I ended up with pink urine.
Yes.
So
fun stuff, Karen.
Well, we've come full circle.
You are a plethora of knowledge.
Well, we've really run the gamut. Karen,
thanks
a lot. We've buttermilk and... excrement and yeah, that's great. So this is one for the books, Gail. All right, so do we have we're about done, right?
I hope so.
You want
I don't know. I'm going to go home and I don't know what I don't want to look at my buttermilk anymore.
Oh, come on. Now, if people want to find out more about Gail Sokol, how do they do that?
They can go to my website, chefgailsokol.com.
Yeah.
And it has a plethora of information and ways to get to all my recipes and ways to get to all my videos.
Your videos are fantastic. And you know one
They're
thing about
fun.
Your,
They're fun.
You'll see it if you go to WAMC.org and hit the Vox Pop page for today, the Food Friday page. Gail's always smiling at the beginning.
Yep. I'm
now,
smiling at the end.
Are you?
Yeah.
I never make it to the end.
But I will tell you something. I do a great Julia Child impression
do
on the Red Velvet Cake video.
Can you do
a
little sound for us?
Ho, ho, ho. Yes, never apologize.
Oh.
Yes, just eat what I made you. It's delicious.
Can you do
Bon Appetit?
Paul Perdome?
No, that I can't
no?
do.
No? Okay.
Sorry.
What about Emil, what's his name?
Oh, no. Cannot do that. I can do a good, from Lord of the Rings, I can do, Gollum.
Oh, really?
I like my fish cold and fresh.
You know what? Okay, I'm going to call it right
Precious.
Now.
Precious.
You know, I think that's the end of the show. Wow. Gail has been nipping at the absinthe today. This is quite a show. Hey, thanks for being here. I'm sure we'll try to do it again, and I promise you not to mention buttermilk on the next show.
Thank you.
But the red velvet cake with the ermine frosting is phenomenal, and I encourage everybody to check it out. You can go to our website first and then go to Gail's site. Thanks again for being here. Support comes from River Valley Co-op in Northampton and East Hampton, supporting local farmers and featuring local produce, dairy, meat, and cheese, rivervalley.coop. Once again, thanks to Gail Sokol for being here today. Thank you for listening. Thanks to Zach Malloy. Zach, how was the red velvet cake? Yeah, two thumbs up. All right, thanks to David Hopper for screening the calls. I'm Ray Graff, reminding you to drink a gallon of buttermilk today.